What's going on? And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast. Today is going to be an amazing show. I'm interviewing somebody who I've looked up to for a very long period of time. He's an NFL legend and now creator of House of Athlete, none other than Brandon Marshall. Brandon is so dope, one of the greatest wide receivers to ever play the game. Brandon Marshall is a straight up dog. But before I get to Brandon, I want to talk about disinformation and our politics. Like many of you, I'm following all the cases that the president and his, I have to laugh, but legal team are bringing and losing around the country. I also see the countless Americans who believe still that there's a chance that the results of this election can be overturned in Trump's favor. But there's a segment of this country who lives in an alternative universe where Trump won, except for mail-in ballots, where Rudy Giuliani is a good lawyer, where COVID is still a liberal hoax, and where the Trump administration is considered a success. And it's that alternative universe of alternative facts and where disinformation thrives that I want to talk about today. Because it's the disinformation and the platforms where it thrives, like Facebook, Reddit, Fox News, Sinclair Broadcasting. Yes, Sinclair Broadcasting. One America News, which is new to me, is I think it's called ON or OAN, and now Parler, that I think poses an existential threat to democracy and runs the risk of undermining everything a Biden administration will seek to do. And it's also something I believe the Democratic Party isn't fully equipped to deal with just yet, and that we'll have to fend with in a post-Trump world. Every appointee, every speech, every proposal, and every budget proposal from a Biden-Harris administration will have to fend against both legitimate opposition from Republicans or even from progressives, but it'll also have to fend with the people who believe the Democratic Party is controlled by QAnon and social media companies that enable this. And as crazy as this sounds to a lot of you, when you realize that a significant portion of the Republican base believes any form of compromise with Democrats is tantamount to cooperating with Antifa or QAnon and a ring of pedophiles, you see how difficult governing can be for Democrats that are fighting wars on three fronts, from the left, the right, and from the crazies that are supported by multi-billion dollar networks and social media platforms. So what do we do about it? First, we all need to be honest about the nature of the threat and how much of an existential threat it poses. Second, we've got to have a muscular Federal Trade Commission and Federal Communications Commission and a Department of Justice willing to investigate and break up these social media companies where disinformation and often violent conspiracy theories thrive. Third, we need a vigilant and well-resourced federal domestic counterterrorism response that ensures that the most violent elements of this world don't have safe harbor online. That's something a Biden administration can do from the White House. Finally, we've got to ensure that our mainstream media outlets are calling balls and strikes, fact-checking the lies on the spot, and not acting like we have fine people on both sides. Because when it comes to misinformation, there's only one side that we all need to be on, and that's the side of truth. And that's that on that. Now on to my interview with my brother, Brandon Marshall.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Today is a very special episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast, man. I feel so lucky to have one of the best NFL wide receivers ever to play the game. But right now he has one of the best shows out. It's just so dope. Brandon Marshall, welcome to the Bukari Sellers podcast, my friend.
Hey, bro. No, I think we're running behind your podcast. I love listening to you. I mean, because it's really good, funny, and you know, at times, and you always learn something. So I appreciate the opportunity.
Man, you know what? I was having a conversation with my homeboy about your show, and the way that you all talk about politics is the way that more people should be able to have conversations. I think that if we actually did more listening to people like you and Channing, we'd be better off as a country. I mean, you all really, really get to the nitty gritty. So thank you for that.
No problem.
Look, man, you're a 12-year NFL veteran. And on every show I start, I like to ask our guests to kind of walk us through the arc of their career. You went from the NFL and now you've got a new show, I Am Athlete. Talk us through the pivot points in your career. Like, when did you know it was time to leave the game? And why did you choose a second act in media, both as a commentator and now creator?
Yeah, well, I was one of those guys that, you know, it's probably going to be told that it's time to leave. The jersey would probably be ripped off, or there's going to be some type of injury to stop you. And unfortunately, fortunately for me, it was the injury part, you know, played 13 years and, you know, the last 2 years just super banged up. But I also was wise enough to know it was time to start building for the future. Back in 2014, I want to say I read Blockbuster, the book Blockbuster by Professor Anita L. Bursey from Harvard. Mm-hmm. She launched a BIMS program back then. And I think I was the first athlete to go. And we spent 3 months with her class building this case study on influencers and athletes that went from playing ball to transitioning into something bigger, but built something for the community, because my goal has always been, how do I help bridge the gap in the mental health community? So from that moment, I just started putting things in place and start really working towards it. So, you know, everything that I'm doing now, from on the production side, the talent side, and even on the health and wellness side, I started back in the day. So I was always preparing myself for this transition.
So we'll talk about I Am Athlete in a second, but I want to talk about the life after football, because some athletes like you master it. They find what works for them and they make it happen. Others, not so much. I got a bunch of friends who, you know, I'm not knocking them, but they just wake up and go to the strip club. That's what they do. What do you think distinguishes those professional athletes that successfully navigate the life after sports and those that don't?
Guys who know who they are. Yeah. You know, I think the biggest challenge that we all have as athletes, or someone, you know, even youth that is super talented in one thing, that thing becomes our identity.
Yeah.
And what we're learning now through LeBron James and other athletes is, you know, we're more than athletes, that this is just a platform for us to build things in our community, build things for our family. Like, there's legacy plays out there. So for me, when I sit down with an athlete, a young athlete, one of the first things I always talk to them about is, who are you? And I ask it just like that. And a lot of them want to start the conversation with ball, but I'm like, okay, but who are you outside of that? And the guys who understand that and find that early are the guys that transition better, because now, you know, they're not held to that one thing. Their identity is not wrapped in there. Yeah. You know, so I think that's where we begin that conversation is really looking at guys and seeing if they know who they are.
And it's a big mental health component, too, because a lot of times we come from these communities where we make it out. And so that drains on you, that pushes you. And a lot of times these guys don't think they need to talk to anybody, or they don't have anybody to talk to. And so that mental health component is real. Did you find that in the league, that there wasn't a lot of outlets to have these mental health conversations or to have these healthy conversations?
Yeah, not just in the league. I just think in society, period. You know, 2011, when I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, basically that's an emotional disorder, being able to cope and manage any type of stress or any type of situation. I didn't have those skills naturally. So I literally spent 3 months in an outpatient program at McLean Hospital working through that. I was in dialectical behavior therapy, mentalization therapy, to see, you know, a lot of what I was doing was thinking black and white. Dialectical behavior therapy gives you the skills and tools to be able to cope with just common stress, you know, things that is just, you know, we all deal with, you know, self-assessment, just talking. So I realized there that, you know, it was a society issue where we didn't know how to talk about it. It was still a taboo topic. Like where we were back then was where the cancer community was 30, 40 right. years ago, where mm-hmm. it was the big C. If I touch you, you know, I might give it to you. Like we didn't have the information. The NFL had programs, but we didn't have the conversation and let the guys know what was available and how to really utilize them. So I think guys like my, you know, there's other guys that did a phenomenal job of just standing up and saying like, this is what I dealt with, just being vulnerable, yeah. creating the conversation just through vulnerability, which opened up the door for other guys to ask questions and then seek help.
So let's talk I Am Athlete. For the people that have never watched or heard of the show, if you live under a rock, but tell people, what is it? What is I Am Athlete?
It's the locker room. You know, I think we're tired of turning on ESPN and all these shows. And I love ESPN. I still watch it. But it's the same thing. Everything is always buttoned up when it comes to sports. We're talking X's and O's. Look at Kawhi Leonard's usage rate. And, you know, like man, is he a baller or not? Is he going to get the job done or not? So I think these real conversations is what people are looking for. And I also think the talent is looking for opportunities and platforms just to be real and talk. Like if we can capture the locker room or the pre-production meetings before we go on air, then those shows will win, you know, Emmys. And I think that's what I Am Athlete is. We occupy that seat. You know, we talk about all things because that's what the locker room is. In the yeah. locker room, we're going to talk about women. In the locker room, we're going to talk about business. We're going to talk about entertainment. We're going to talk about media. We're going to talk about culture. We're going to talk about politics. So why not have that real conversation in front of the camera? So I think, you know, the crew is dynamic. And
How'd y'all come up with the concept?
So I was sitting back, you know, back in March when everything was locked down, and I had, already bought a lot of cameras and a lot of equipment because I was highlighting House of Athlete. We were shooting content every single day, just highlighting our members and their life transformations from unhealthy to healthy. And obviously with the pandemic, we weren't able to do that anymore. So I was like, look, let's make a pivot. Everybody was trying to pivot at that time. I was like, well, we have all this equipment. I have these amazing creatives. You know, let's start this podcast. And that's where it really started. I'm looking around. I'm like, in my neighborhood, I have Reggie Wayne. I have Fred Taylor, Channing Crowder. And then there's probably another 50 pro athletes that live in our community, like in the South Florida area, that we all, if we do it right and smartly and safely, we can probably produce at a high level. I thought the production would sell the show. That was my goal, was no one can shoot like this. Everybody's on Zoom. So I was like, let's come together. Let's
Hey, we're doing the best we can do over here on Zoom now.
but back then we're talking about ESPN. Like I was thinking.
Yeah, no, your production quality. I mean, your production quality, it reminds me of like The Shop with on HBO yep. with LeBron and Maverick and those guys. I'm gonna share a clip.
Has politics with teammates ever made a wedge or built a wall between locker rooms, Republican, Democrat, whatever it is? Have y'all ever felt that in the locker room?
Well, we ain't talk about politics. Yeah. Then I think now for a lot of us, we're having these conversations publicly, you know, because, you know, when you talk politics, it's a lot of times it's like, oh, don't give your opinion, you know, keep that to yourself. But it seems like we were all forced to be in this conversation. And I think that there's a lot of relationships being broken because of politics right now. Like there's a lot of people right now, as you know, saying, well, if you believe this, then that means you are this type of person, and I'm taking that personal.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think to a degree, if you support Trump, then yeah, I'm gonna look at you sideways from here on out.
I want to talk about it briefly. It's the clip where you, Fred Taylor, T.O., and Channing Crowder talk about politics in the locker room. Now, many of your owners are Republican and Trump supporters. A lot of your mm-hmm. coaches are, too. Same thing with a lot of your fans. Talk about the black athlete navigating a locker room, front office, and even a fan landscape where the people who are making your livelihood possible may adopt a brand of politics that is in direct conflict with black lives. What's your advice to black athletes as they navigate this space?
Listen, we own our platforms. We own the sports, right? Like that's power. But we got to come together. Like at the end of it, we just saw it in a bubble with the NBA. We are so powerful if we're together. Like, whatever we want to talk about, whatever we want to do, if we do it together, we can do it, right? So you saw that with the NBA. They literally sat down with the owners, with the networks, and said, we're not playing if we don't get X.
Yep.
And I think that needs to continue to happen in all of sports, you know, because you're right. 70-80% of our players in the NFL are minority.
Yeah.
You know, so like what we care about, our culture should be represented. Now, for the very first time in like ever, the NFL is really embracing our culture, you know, from how we talk on social media and our music that we're playing and having Fox and ESPN bring in our culture, hip hop artists, mm-hmm. to do the pregame intros and music and celebrations. So I think the NFL player, the NBA player is really leading the way in all sports, just demanding that our culture is embraced. And then also these conversations, like there's something that just came out recently this week where James Harden and Russell Westbrook, they want to trade.
Yeah, I
saw that. You saw that?
Yeah,
because they're
owner.
That's power, bro. Like, like if you're not going to stand up, like you don't look, if you're Republican, fine. If you're Democrat, fine. But when it comes to civil rights, we got to see this the same, because I'm going to lose a lot of respect for you. It's going to be hard for me to play for you if you can't stand up and you can't say Black Lives Matter. And I'm not talking about the movement. I'm talking about literally, like, take a knee with me. Understand what's happening. My brother just had a knee in his neck for 9 minutes. Do you not understand that? Do you not understand that? That's what happened in my neighborhood every single day. When I walk out my house, like, I got to be aware of certain things. I got to have street savviness because it's just different where I come from. Do you not get that my school system is set up differently than the school system on the other side of the railroad? If you can't have this conversation and you can't understand that and validate that, it's going to be hard for players moving forward to play for owners. I think this is just the tip of the iceberg, you know, for, you know, social injustice in sports.
So how much has Trump politicized NFL locker rooms? And I guess people listening, because, you know, we're on the Ringer platform, so we talk about sports all the time, but can politics actually affect on-field chemistry?
Oh, now, yes, 100%. We had that conversation on our podcast, remember? We were like, you know, T.O. was like, look, man, if you voted for Trump, like, I look at you differently, right? Now, then you had Channing on the other end. He's a Black brother, come from, you know, the hood and came from nothing. And he's like, look, I don't see it that way. So you got 80-something guys in the NFL locker room, come from different walks of life, different viewpoints. So 100% it can affect that. Now, before, we just didn't talk about it. You know, we didn't talk about religion. We didn't talk about politics. And now it's not a taboo topic anymore at the dinner table. Like, now that is the highlight of the evening is, man, what do you think is happening in this world? Like, you better be uncomfortable having that uncomfortable you better be comfortable having that uncomfortable conversation. So
everywhere you go, you can't avoid it. You can't avoid it everywhere.
No, you can't, bro.
And this Thanksgiving about to be rough. This Thanksgiving about to be rough for some folk out there. Look, I want to do a thought experiment with you real quick. What, you know, when you think about George Floyd, it happened during the NBA season. They organized and they considered canceling the season. If George Floyd had happened during the NFL season, do you think you would have seen the same kind of organizing from NFL players that you saw from NBA players? And if the answer is no, what do you think is the difference between NFL and NBA players in organizations in this regard?
Yeah, this is an impossible question to answer, because I think that it was a perfect storm, because, you know, in 2016, when Cap took his first knee, there was a lot of pressure around the NFL player. You know, we were being singled out every single day. There was cameras in our face. Are you going to hold up your fist? Are you going to kneel? Are you guys going to lock arms? And then when the NBA season rolled around, they did, you know, they wore T-shirts and they didn't really do much. But it was powerful because they came right. It was powerful because they came together. And so it didn't create a distraction. And it made it easier for everybody to have a conversation. Now you fast forward to 2020, 4 years later, since Cap took that knee, it was the perfect storm. We're in the middle of a global pandemic. Everybody's on lockdown across the world, around the world. There's no sports being played. All the attention is on our health and wellness. all of the attention's on politics. And then you see Ahmaud Arbery happen.
Yep.
Man, people are upset. And then George Floyd. And then we start rehashing all the things that happened over the last 10 years, the last 50 years, the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think it was just a perfect storm. And then who's always thrust in the, at the front line? And that's sports.
Yep.
And that's athletes lead us, which it's another whole conversation. So now, because of the NBA player being at the front line, now they had to make a decision. And I think that it's an impossible question to answer because it was the perfect storm. If you didn't have one without the other, I don't think we have this type of movement. Global pandemic, racial tension soaring because of Ahmaud Arbery, because of George Floyd. That's why we have such a powerful moment happening right now in our world.
That's a good point. I always tell people that this moment that we're in right now is a lot like 1918, where you had a Spanish flu meets 1928, 29, when you had a Great Depression meets 1968, where you were having a racial reckoning. And so this is a very unique convergence of historical facts or scenarios all landing in one year. I want to ask you about the league's social justice initiative. What do you think about what the NFL is trying to do to get players engaged in social justice issues? If you were still a player in the league today, utilizing your platform as being an all-star wide receiver, what would you be saying to the NFL brass about what they should be doing around this initiative?
I wouldn't be saying anything. I wouldn't be saying anything because, and I tell this to young players all the time, everybody has something that's near and dear to their heart. And for me, it's mental health. So for me, what I would be doing if I was in the league right now, I would be following Anquan Boldin, Malcolm Jenkins. And I'm saying, what are these brothers doing? Because they live this every single day. For me, yeah. I'm living, how do I mentally help people be better, right? Yeah. So I'm not as in tune, but this is one of those moments where we all have to have a thought. We all have to play a part somehow, some way. Me, it would be all about support. I'm finding the people who actually know what they're talking about. They're doing the work. They're living it every single day. And then I'm supporting them. So all I'm doing is when Malcolm Jenkins, Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith walk to the league office, I'm probably going to be there. I won't say much, but my presence
that means a lot. That speaks volumes.
But you're right. And I think that's part of it is like, man, you know, we don't all have to run out and create our own organizations, initiatives. There's a lot of people already, they've been doing this work for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Find that group, find those people and support them. But you got to do your work and you got to know what's happening. I think that, you know, the player, we don't need the NFL to tell us what to do. The NFL just and the NBA, the MLB, they just need to listen to the players. Like the players been doing this work like before this, right? Like who started mm-hmm. this cap? Cap didn't need anybody to come in and say,
Eric Reed. Cap and Eric Reed.
Correct. So the NFL, we don't need them telling us what we need to do in our communities. They don't know our communities. They don't get our communities. They just need to listen to us, validate that, and then also embrace our culture and give us opportunities so we can push our communities forward.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the golden collection at UGG.com.
This past season, technology took sports viewership to the next level. You know, it's amazing. I think about the NBA bubble and how technology was used to have digital fans to watch the games and virtually pump the players up. In fact, I'm still waiting on my virtual ticket to an NBA game, or the Wubble, where the WNBA did its thing by allowing virtual fans, etc. But when it comes to hiring for your business, there's one solution that's been advancing technology for years, and that's ZipRecruiter. And now you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bukkari. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology identifies people with the right skills and experience and invites them to apply to your job. It's a winning formula. No wonder 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So if you want to step up your hiring game, give ZipRecruiter a shot. You've got nothing to lose. Why? Because right now you get the chance to try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bukkari. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BAKARI. What are you waiting for? Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Bukkari. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. So look, I want to talk a little football with you before we get you out of here, though. So what teams have surprised you this season? I know the NFC East sucks. That's my next question. So we'll get to that in a second. Yeah.
The NFC East is the most exciting division in football over the last 5 years. You got to love the NFC East. Like, you could potentially win this division. Yeah, but that doesn't excite you, that you could potentially win a division with 6 wins?
That's exactly right. 6 wins and a tie. I mean, do you think when you look at the NFC East, and we'll get back to what team surprised you, but when you look at the NFC East and you see what happened to Dak Prescott, I mean, I tell me as a player, I mean, we all feel bad for Dak, but tell me as a player in the financial situation, the contract ramifications, what that means and how Dak should have been paid already and how Dak definitely will get paid now. It don't always work that way. Sometimes somebody steps in that spot and shows out. But tell me your thoughts surrounding that whole scenario.
Yeah, well, first of all, let's go. He's on a franchise tag. The franchise tag is broken. Let's start there. First and foremost, franchise tag is broken. It was meant to be a tool to keep the star players around just for a period of time. We're talking about extended period of time for them to negotiate a long-term deal. The NFL owners, general managers, coaches have used this and exploited the franchise tag. Now they're making these guys play into that last year. They're lame ducks. That's not right. That's a bad business deal. In any business, you need to share the risk. It shouldn't be, you know, hey, the team has all the risk, the player has all the risk. Well, if you're a player in the National Football League, injury is inevitable. So if you outplayed your contract and you don't have any guaranteed money, young players, sit down at the table, get your money, because this is what can happen. Now, Dak moving forward, he'll be fine. He's a quarterback, right? Like, you know, modern medicine, technology, all of that, he'll be fine. But if that was a wide receiver and it wasn't Dak or offensive lineman, guess what they're going to say? Bro, you got to prove that you're healthy. So now that $45 million you're supposed to make next year, now you're playing on the league minimum. Now you lost $44 million or whatever that is. So, like, the franchise tag is broken, one. And two, we have to be smarter businessmen. Just look at a good deal. You don't have to crush the team. It just needs to be a fair deal. Where they win, you win. But you can't be playing in the National Football League, you know, especially if you're a star on a team and you don't have guaranteed money.
That's crazy.
And so when I say guaranteed money, I'm not talking about, you know, oh, this year's guaranteed. I'm talking about multi-years.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me your surprise teams. I say the Bills and the Dolphins. Who are your surprise teams?
Oh, Bills, Dolphins, good teams. Dolphins is a really good one. Who would have thought that the Dolphins would be in this situation, right? That's a good place to start. I think, Coach Flores, Brian Flores is, man, he's pushing to be one of the great coaches in the National Football League. He is. But, like, we need to see him finish this year out. We want to see him do it consistently. But you just think about the little things that he do where it's before the half is ending, trying to get the other team to burn timeouts, right? I mean, things like that, like little details, man, that's like next level coaching. He always has his team in the perfect position to compete every single week. So that's a really good team. That's probably the number one team. Surprise, I'm out, like a lot of people, you know, are up and down on the Tampa Bay Bucks. You know, for them to be sitting here 6-3 is shocking to me a little bit, because there was no offseason, there was no preseason. Now you got Tom Brady, 42 years old, implemented into this, put into this offense with new guys, learning a new system. And for those guys to have this type of success is pretty cool. I picked the Pittsburgh Steelers in my preseason predictions to come out of the AFC to make it to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, who's your NFC team then?
The Seattle Seahawks. And I think after last night,
their defense is trash.
Yeah, but the last 2 weeks, let's look at the last 2 weeks. So 2 weeks ago, they held the Rams to 23 points. Now, this is a defense, like you said, trending in the wrong direction, like being the worst defense in NFL history. And in the last 2 weeks, they hold the LA Rams to 23 points. I'll take that, especially if I have Russell Wilson not turn the ball over. And then playing the last game against the Arizona Cardinals, Kyler Murray, who just been thrust into the MVP discussion. They can beat you running. They can beat you throwing. They're just super dynamic. And then they hold that team to 100 yards in the first half, a bunch of three and outs, 7 points. No, I like that team. So that the Seattle Seahawks, if they can continue to trend in this direction on a defensive side, they may come out of the NFC, man.
I actually like the Bears.
You like the – no, don't say that. Take that back. I like the Bears. I played for the Bears, but right now, Nick, they got problems at quarterback.
Nah, their defense is legit, though. And if anybody has to go to Chicago to play them, that's a tough sell.
Yeah, but the offense, man, is not good right
Putrid.
Now.
Putrid. They've drafted Mitchell Trubisky ahead of Deshaun Watson and others.
Oh,
I mean,
my goodness. Yeah. So now that's right. That was a
so
bad
now you. You're a former wide receiver. What wide receivers do you enjoy watching the most now?
DK Metcalf.
That boy is a monster. I don't even know where they created him. Because he's huge. He runs like Tyreek Hill. I mean, monster.
Bro. And he's learning how to run the entire route tree. He's dangerous.
I was about to say, when he learned how to run routes, he'll be good.
No. He got it. No. He got it. Nate Carroll out, you know, Pete Carroll's son, receiver coach out there. Like he is a wide receiver guru. So that's why you're seeing this dude emerge so fast. He already had the talent, but like you said, it's like the little details. No, he's running routes now. It's impressive. But you got DeAndre Hopkins, who I think it's either him or DK, who's the best wide receiver in the league right now. Yeah, he's still Julio Jones.
I was about to say, what? He's on a team.
I mean, he's on a losing team, but like he's still Julio now. Don't get it twisted.
Oh, no, I think Julio's the best receiver in the league, period. And I think he's been that way for the last 5 years.
And you can back that up. That's not a hard argument. You know, it's just that they're losing and they're not getting it done. So that's why he's not thrust into this conversation. Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, Keenan Allen. There's some receivers out there still balling at a high level. I still like Mike Evans. I just like watching dogs, man. There's 32 wide receivers as far as they have I'm the number one receiver on my team, but there's probably like 10 real number one receivers in the NFL.
That's a good list right there. And those are some dogs right there. Let me ask you this. If you had to lace it up in your heyday right now and you see Stephon Gilmore, Jalen Ramsey, Patrick Peterson, Chris Harris, or Richard Sherman, which one are you going after, and which one is your stiffest competition?
I'm at all they heads. What you talking about? I want them all. You know what? I didn't get an opportunity to play against Ramsey. I would love to have that fight. Like
all he do is talk, though. I think
he's strong, man. He's a dog. He's athletic. He's super smart. His football IQ is out
crazy.
Of this world.
That's what they say. Yeah.
He's fast, strong, everything, man. So that would be a game where I would let him do the talking, and I would just try to just keep it in between the whistle. But that would be a game where it's going to go to the limits.
Yeah, I'm a homer. I think Stephon Gilmore is the best cornerback in the league. But I think people
he's
like
a beast. I had me and Gil, we had battles going back when he first got in the league. I had him young, and he would say he may have won one battle, but I feel like I won probably 90% of our battles. But yeah, you're right. He's banged up right now, but he is definitely, you can say he's easy to the number one corner in the league right now. It's cool to see how he's developed.
So I want to end on this note because you brought up a good point about the Brian Flores, the coach for the Miami Dolphins. But there was an exchange, and I want to go back to your show. There was an exchange from one of your episodes that I'm going to play.
Rooney Rule and black coaches. Is this the year where we finally get it? We see the NFL get it right.
Is it really about getting it right or who the owners feel is best suited to take on the job of their team? Mm-hmm. It's like if we have to have a Rooney Rule and force people to hire us or that they feel worthy of the position, what is that telling you? What is that telling you? What is that telling you? The fact that we have to have a Rooney Rule in place.
But does it make you hire them or does it make you interview them?
Interview.
Oh, that's all it does.
It's the same thing about black quarterbacks versus white quarterbacks. They're not prototypical.
Yeah.
Not smart.
You know, they're not what the position is. And it's very unfortunate. They're saying, all right, we're going to give you an opportunity by, you know, we're going to scratch off this box and say we allowed you to come in the door.
That doesn't
necessarily mean we're going to hire you. There are tons of candidates. Even going back to a conversation with, and y'all probably didn't see this, the CEO Diamond with J.P. Morgan, the bank, he said there are just not a lot of people qualified. You know what I'm saying? That's a slap in the face. There's tons of beautiful black people that can get the job done. Same thing in coaching. It's about opportunity. It's about serious candidates and serious, you know, interviews and opportunities.
It's you and the guys talking about the Rooney Rule and guys like Eric Bieniemy and Byron Leftwich who are doing great work but who aren't head coaches, though they should be. Is it fair to say that the Rooney Rule has failed and why haven't we seen more black coaches get the call? I mean, I think there's a direct correlation with the lack of black coaches and the lack of black ownership, but that's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah, the Rooney Rule is dead. It's done. You know, it's 2020, and going into this season, we have four minority head coaches, and we have two minority general managers. Yeah, it's fair to say that rule is dead. The owners, man, they're just not comfortable hiring people that don't look like them and live like them, right? Like, I think that's what it comes down to. And you know, I love what the NFL is doing right now. Troy Vincent, I have to, you know, show props to him. He's trying to fix it. And it's not just with one initiative. He's launching several initiatives. And the one that he just launched where, you know, they're incentivizing teams to develop minority coaches, general managers, and they'll be rewarded for that. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's not to fix the Rooney Rule, but it's to fix like something that's broken in every industry, whereas let me hold on to my minority talent, you know, let me not refer them so I can keep them, because if I talk about them, then I lose them. And so he's attacking it on all angles. And I think he's doing a great job, but yeah, man, the Rooney Rule is broken. You know, the league is made up of 80% minorities, but it's not reflected when you look at positions of power.
Man, that's dope. This was an amazing opportunity to sit down with you, brother. I hope we get a chance to do it in person one day soon, talk politics, shop, whatever else. Your show is so dope. I Am Athlete. Thank you for everything you're doing at the House of Athlete. Brandon Marshall, thank you for coming on the Bakari Sellers podcast, brother.
Thanks, man.
Before we wrap up, I wanted to share one more thing that's been on my mind. Last week, I came across a few articles suggesting that former Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel was potentially being considered to lead the Department of Transportation or the Department of Housing and Urban Development. I have no idea if these reports are legitimate or if Rahm's people are planning stories, but here's my unsolicited advice to the Biden-Harris administration. Under absolutely no circumstances should Rahm Emanuel have anything to do with your administration for a host of reasons, but primarily because of his role in the cover-up surrounding Laquan McDonald's death. If you recall, then-Mayor Rahm Emanuel suppressed video evidence of McDonald's murder right before his 2015 re-election, effectively making the calculated decision that his re-election was more important than black lives, even though his campaign relied on black votes. I don't care what transportation projects he made successful or what housing he built. You can't be the party that says you value black votes and black lives and elevate someone that put his own political career ahead of justice for black lives. We have lots of current and former mayors who can run either HUD or DOT, from Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti to former Stockton, California Mayor Michael Tubbs to Atlanta Mayor Keisha Bottoms to my Mayor of Columbia, South Carolina, Steve Benjamin, to Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, to Little Rock Mayor Frank Scott, to Birmingham Mayor Randall Woofen. And all of them would be far better choices than Rahm Emanuel. And none of them have put their political career ahead of justice for Black lives. Rahm Emanuel has no place in a Biden-Harris administration that ran on restoring the soul of a nation and valuing Black lives and Black votes. Rahm should go make money or do whatever the hell he wants to do, but he betrayed the public's trust at the expense of people who look like me. I can't rock with that, and neither should the president-elect. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Be safe this holiday, and we will see you next Monday on another episode of the Bakari Sellers Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln and the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.